Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. هيا على الصلاة. هيا على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. الله أكبر الله.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن التقويم وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل علينا كتاب مبين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعثه في العميين رسول منهم يعلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Brothers and sisters, peace, mercy, and blessings be upon you. وجمعه مبارك. السلام عليكم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ألم تر إلا الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن أتاه الله الملك إذ قال إبراهيم رب الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب فبحت الذي كفر والله يهدي لا يهدي قوم الظالمين صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. An expression of this, the 258th ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah. Have you not considered the one who argued with Abraham about his Lord merely because Allah had given him kingship? When Abraham said, my Lord is the one who gives life and causes death, he said, I give life and cause death. Abraham said, indeed, Allah brings up the sun from the east, so bring it up from the west. So the disbeliever was overwhelmed by astonishment, and Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira reported that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah created the intellect. He said to it, stand up, and it did so. Then he told it to turn its back, and it did so. Then he told it to turn its face, and it did so. Then told it to sit, and it did so. He then said, I have created nothing more excellent or finer than you. By you I shall receive, by you I shall give, by you I shall know, by you I shall reprove. By you reward will be gained, and by opposing you punishment will be received. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we continue the subject, the science of truth and reality. And this is part 8 of that subject. And we are working our way through the last part of the hadith that we just read. And we've addressed, by you I shall receive, by you I shall give, by you I shall know, in the previous Jummah, most recent to this one. And today we're going to speak to, by you I shall reprove. Alhamdulillah, there are many, I'll just mention in passing, then we'll go into a little more detail. You know, relevant verses are verses like Surah 2, 143, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He created you to be a witness over the people and Muhammad to be a witness over you. This is 143. And Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2. The idea of reproval having to do with correcting people, having to do with correcting a person is you did wrong, and so correct yourself in that matter. You were wrong because of this, you were wrong because of that. Come back to order. Basically, we'll detail that in a moment. But in the same way, this is what we are supposed to be for the people, where the people at large. They're supposed to be able to look at a Muslim, and by that Muslim's behavior, and by that Muslim's character, and by that Muslim's demonstration, they should be able to see where they need to be corrected. I remember it's so evident in the Nation of Islam when we're a part of that movement. You know, the sister Muslim, it's like, you know, she comes into an environment where the men weren't necessarily in order in what we might call the hood. When they see her coming, they just straighten up, because it she simply exudes respect. I find that among those, just a woman with her head covered, whether it be an African covering or mainly that says something about character or culture or religion, you'll find people responding and replying in ways that say, I respect that. In the same way, when you have people who are known for trustworthiness, honesty, being credible, being people who hold to their oaths and obligations, you'll find people will be simply corrected by their presence, by the presence of them. So that's how the Muslim community, the Muslim Ummah, is supposed to be for the rest of the world. So obviously we have a lot of work to do. And we're told in the Quran also, let there arise out of you a group of people calling to all that is good and joining what is right, forbidding what is wrong. That, again, is the part of the deputization, actually, of the Muslim in terms of representing the will of God. And as one scholar says, that the Muslim recognizes their responsibility to create a value-filled world. And what that means is that when you see things not right, i.e. being aligned with the will of God for humanity and the destiny of human beings, then the Muslim has the first order obligation to correct that situation. And reproving is one of the ways of doing that, which we'll detail in just a moment. MashaAllah. So this intelligence, this obedient intelligence, that is serving the heart that is submitted to God, that obedient intelligence that is serving the heart that is submitted to God, it goes about that work, you know, at correcting the world. The hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it says the ink of the scholar is more precious than the blood of a martyr. The ink of a scholar is more precious than the blood of a martyr. To tell us, putting your intellect to work in the interest of those values, in the interest of creating and reforming the world, the intellect has a prime role to play there. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also says, one learned believer is harder on shaitan than 1,000 unmindful worshipers. One learned believer is harder on Satan than 1,000 unmindful believers. So again, this reiterates the role of the obedient intellect. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, by you I shall reprove, as we have addressed in the previous three, to receive, to give, to know, how does the obedient intellect function in that way, as Allah through the hadith of the Prophet says. Well, I don't have the original Arabic for this particular verse, so we had to make inferences. We had to look at some of the things that we assume about the Quran. Some of the things we know and assume about the Quran. Some of the things we know and assume about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be able to say, okay, well then, what might be the case? So I'm going to walk you through a part of my process. In the absence of that Arabic, then the question is, okay, what might this word in the original hadith, what might it be? First simple question is, you know, what is the Arabic term for reprove? What is the Arabic term? Without reference to Quran, without reference, just the idea of in Arabic terms. So you can go to a site, a translation site, and they'll give you a list of words that, okay, well, these are the Arabic words, you know, like Google Translate, that kind of thing, list of words for that. And so there were some words that come up. I didn't make a note of the entire list because what I found at the very beginning was sufficient for me. Inshallah, it'll be sufficient for you. There was one, wabbaha. And this wabbaha, you don't find that word. It's not in Lane's lexicon. Lane's lexicon is a major dictionary that is often used in searching the meaning of Arabic words from their classical, ancient, Quranic, and cultural Arabic roots. But this one, I did not find the base stem for it in Lane's lexicon, and it also doesn't appear in the Quran, that the base stem, that is, you look for three root radicals to try to find out, okay, well, how is this word used? How is this word used in the Quran? So this term, wabbaha, the meaning of it that is given is to rebuke, to scold, to tick off. You've heard that, right? To tick off, to take to task, to dress down. And one of the reasons that I believe that this is not in Lane's lexicon, Lane's lexicon was done many years ago. I'm even comfortable saying more than a century ago. Could be wrong, but I'm comfortable saying more than a century ago. And therefore, when you talk about modern standard Arabic and the like, you may find that in quote-unquote later dictionaries, but in Lane's lexicon, for example, it's not there. And then it not being in the Quran, its absence in the Quran also is, for me, it means that, God doesn't mean for that to be the case. God does not really honor or value or want that word even in the book. And I think that that also speaks to the fact that there is not only with the absence, we talk about the absence of the word for the same reason in terms of the Quran in the 7th century, perhaps this word was not a word that was being used at that time, which would also account for it not being in Lane's lexicon and therefore it being more modern. I'm just reasoning with you through this. So for that reason, whatever that means, and essentially it means to be very, very severe in the rebuke. You know, even the term that's used, you know, tick off, you know, if somebody acts when they are ticked off, as the prophet tells us, لا تغضب, don't act in anger. So you're not supposed to be ticked off, you know. And I know none of us ever get ticked off, right? To take someone to task, to dress someone down. When you say to dress someone down, it's like that's really, really severe. And so the point is that it actually speaks to something that is un-Islamic. Whatever that kind and level and magnitude and severity of rebuke is, it's un-Islamic. It's unacceptable. Allah would not even mention it in the Quran. But again, for also the reasons that we say it could be a part of modern standard Arabic. But even so, that meaning, if Allah intended for that meaning to have bearing for us as Muslims explicitly, then it would have been in the Quran, inshallah. Then there was another one, and the root for it is Alif Nun Ba. Alif Nun Ba, or Hamza Nun Ba. And I understand I've heard it said that there are no Arabic words that begin with Alif or Hamza. It just depends on which side of that debate you're on. But it too, or as well, is not in the Quran. Those three base stems that are used as one of the words defining reprove in Arabic, it is also not in the Quran. And it means he blamed, he reproved, he reprehended. You know, we say someone is reprehensible. He reprehended a child or a man and did so severely or angrily or with the utmost severity and harshness. So it carries the same tone and spirit semantically of this wabbaha, carries the same meaning. And again, it's not in the Quran. So just by inference from that perspective, it is saying that that is not the way to reprove. That is not the way to reprove. That is dressing someone down, scolding someone, taking someone to task, being reproving and blaming in a reprehensible way with severe anger and with the utmost severity and harshness. That is not what Allah is speaking of as he's being addressed in the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Says, by you I shall reprove. And very, very simply put, it's like that would not be a way of reproving that would be approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not approve that. There are implications in the idea of the qualities of a hypocrite. And you say, if you have all these qualities, then you're a perfect hypocrite. If you have some of these qualities, then you have some of the qualities, some of the attributes of the hypocrite. And one of them is that, and when he argues, he's abusive. He's evil in his way of doing so. So both of these terms would not be the terms that would describe the obedient intellect reproving by God's will and in accordance with Allah's will. What is in the Quran and also in Lane's is Ain Ta Ba. These are the three base steps for the word. And it means he reproved, he blamed, or censured him. He reproved, he blamed, or censured him. In the Quran, in 45:35, this verse appears. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ذلكم بأنكم اتخذتم آيات الله هزوا وغرتكم الحياة الدنيا. فاليوم لا يخرجون منها ولا هم يستعتبون. صدق الله العظيم. An expression of it is, that is because you took the verses of Allah in ridicule and the worldly life deluded you. That day, they will not be removed from it, meaning the hell, the punishment. They will not be removed from it, nor will they be asked to appease Allah. This is the translator's expression of yusta'tabun. Yusta'tabun. So this ayn ta'ba is the root of it, and of course it is formed in as plural. This is where this word appears, at one of the places where this word appears in the Quran. And so some of the meaning of this word, the base stem for it, is to be angry, to blame, to seek to remove blame, to seek favor, pleasure, please, to be allowed to make amends for his sins, to accept any excuse in defense, meaning somebody, okay, we'll accept that excuse, right? To accept any excuse in defense, to take favor, to be allowed to approach the threshold, to be given leave to seek the pleasure of, to be regarded with favors, to grant goodwill, to satisfy, to accuse anyone of a blameworthy action. The threshold, that is, to be able to approach the threshold, the hold of a door, the step of a ladder, the ascent of a hill, also favor being granted, and finally also blame, reproof, complaint, charge. Now, in this verse where it says that that day, because you ridiculed the verses of Allah and you were deluded by the life of this world, so on that day, this Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day of judgment, on that day you will not be removed from the punishment that you'll be brought into, nor will you be asked to appease Allah. Now, what this tells us, one more reading of a meaning for that word. This is one of the Lane's dictionary definitions. It says, reproving a man, meaning you're correcting them, right? You're reprimanding them, okay? You're charging them with some wrongdoing, no matter how large or small, but they're being reproved, they're being reprimanded for it. So reproving a man for evil conduct that he has shown towards you and from which you have the desire for him to return to what will please you or make you happy. So inside of the definition itself, you heard these positive words, right? You hear the, let's call it the quote-unquote negative words, meaning the charging words, the reprimanding words, literally. But then you also see to seek a pleasure, to regard with favors, to grant goodwill, favor being granted, favor, pleasure, please, to be allowed to make amends, to accept an excuse. All of these words are also in there. They're mixed into the very meaning of the word that has the base div that we're speaking of. Why? Because that's what's involved with reproving in accordance with the will of Allah. And this is what all of the meanings that we've spoken of so far, and I expect it to continue, that they all are, when Allah says, by you I shall give, by you I shall receive, by you I shall know, by you I shall reprove, it has to do with doing whatever that is in accordance with the will of Allah. And that will of Allah, it has to do with the way that He has designed the entirety of creation, and we as part and parcel of that creation, we also have those qualities. We have those qualities as well. And so everything that is being spoken of has this quote unquote dual quality. Dual quality, just as when we have the qadr, right? The qadr. وَقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرْرِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And the measure of benefit and harm, the measure of potential benefit and potential harm in everything is with Allah, which means what? In everything, there's some benefit, there's some harm. In everything, there's some positive and there's some negative, right? So therefore, in knowing, in the way that one knows, in the way that one acquires knowledge, there are things that are positive about it, and there are things that can be negative about it. And so it is with everything. Even in giving, right? Giving, there's some giving that can be beneficial. There's some giving that can be harmful, okay? And the reverse is true. Withholding, there's some withholding that can be beneficial, and there's some withholding that can be harmful. Alhamdulillah. So it is the obedient intellect seeking to be guided by and satisfy the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will be doing all these things. And when it is done in the way that is approved by the will of Allah for the human being and for the destiny of man, that is when Allah says, it's me doing it. I'm the one that's doing it. I'm the one that's giving. I'm the one that's receiving. I'm the one that's knowing, and in this case, I'm the one that's reproving. Now, this verse or this section here where it says that, and they will not be asked to appease Allah. They will not be, pardon me, nor will they be asked to appease Allah, meaning effectively you had your chance to please Allah before you got to this time. What does that have to do with reproval? And it's this, inshallah. The meaning says, reproving a man for evil conduct that he has shown towards you. Let's put Allah in the matter. That is, a man behaves in a way like the ones in this verse. It said they took the verses of Allah in ridicule and they were deceived by the worldly life. That effectively is against Allah's will for the human being. To ridicule the ayahs of Allah, to be deluded by the life of this world, which causes you to separate and deny your role and responsibility and relationship and the expectation and your duty that you owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of this is something that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything that Allah reveals has been revealed for the purpose of correcting that behavior. Why? It's because Allah wants you to come away from that. Allah wants us to come away from that. But you only have that opportunity as long as you're living. You only have that opportunity as long as you're living. And this is saying at that time, at the end of it, and in the judgment day, you will not be asked to appease Allah. When you were being reprimanded, when you were being reproved, either by Allah or by His messenger or by the believers, it was a cause that, now you know that's wrong, you need to set yourself straight, right? We talk about tawbah, right? We talk about tawbah, repentance. What does it have to do? It means turn around. Turn around. You moved away from what is pleasing to Allah. You moved away from what is good with this act or that act. Now we're going to reprove you. You're being reproved by the revelation. You're being reproved by the messenger. You're being reproved by the believer. Even your own conscience. Your own conscience will reprove you, inshallah, if there's any merit to it. And what is that? It's an opportunity to turn around. It's an opportunity to return to a more pleasing state. But going on with the Lane definition that's given, it says, reproving a man for evil conduct that he has shown towards you. In this case, we're saying you have shown this towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from which you have, and now we're saying, from which Allah has the desire for you to return to what will please you or please him and would, quote unquote, make him happy. Now, we know the Quran says, O you who believe, ya yatul nafsul mutma'inna, O soul that is in complete rest and satisfaction, return to your Lord, pleased and pleasing. Return to your Lord, pleased and pleasing. So when we are away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered for us, Allah is not pleased. Allah is not pleased. When we return to what Allah has ordered for us, we are pleased and Allah is pleased. That's in this life. This is not just after you die. In this life, when we return to what we know pleases Allah and away from what we know displeases Allah, then we have been corrected. And therefore, because we were alive, and because of the nature of the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appealed to us, whether he appealed to us through our own conscience or through signs that he gave us to say, here's your chance to get straight. You're away from where you should be. You need to come back. Okay, it's all that time. And all that time, that's the time where you have the opportunity to get straight. So, but in 45:35, it says, وَلَهُمْ يَسْتَعْ Tabun is saying, now at that time, you will not be asked to appease Allah. You were asked before you died. You were asked before this day came. You had a chance at that time. You didn't take it, so it's no more available anymore. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Now, a critical feature of this reproof, by you I shall reprove. So we're talking about the obedient intellect that reproves in a way that is consistent with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if we could add a word here, taqwa. That is, through taqwa, we operate, we reprove. Yes, a person has to be reproved. A person has to be reprimanded. A person has to be corrected. But when we understand it in the nature of this combination that has, it's sweet and sour, I'll put it that way. It's sweet and sour. There, yes, there's the hard part, but then there's also the mercy in the reproval. So, yes, think about your employee. Think about your business partner. Think about your husband. Think about your wife. Think about your children, for sure, your children. Think about, yes, there are many times. In fact, children learn through correction, right? There's formal, there's informal, there's technical learning. These are all our ways of learning. The formal way of learning is through correction. The formal way of learning is through correction. Person makes a mistake, then they get corrected based on the mistake. But the correction, the object of the correction is not to destroy them. The object of the correction is to get them to get on the right track, do the thing in the right way. This is what is so wrong about the idea that by one man's sin, death entered into the world. That is Adam and his wife, according to the Bible story. They made one mistake, and then everything was over after that. Then God, a'udzubillahi minash-shaytan rajim, it said to, we know this, Allah did not do this. But it said that God, because you did that, I'm going to curse you to have to do this. I'm going to curse you to have to do that, et cetera. That's not the kind of reproval that fits the divine creator of the heavens and the earth. In the ancient Arabic poetry, Lanes gives an example statement where this word is used in it, and an expression of it is that, when reproof departs, there is no love. When reproof departs, there is no love. But love lasts as long as reproof lasts. Sometimes we think we're showing love when we don't correct a person. okay? And that failure to correct the person is a sign of the fact that you don't love that person, that you don't love that person. When you love someone and when you reprove in the way that Allah approves, then you reprove them with love as well. So this is these two things go together. Yes, you have to be corrected, but I'm going to correct you with an awareness of love. I'm going to correct you with the aspiration for you to return to what pleases me in the realm where I have the right to be pleased, if you will. Right? So it's like it's not that you're wrong. Whenever you do anything that don't please me, you're wrong. No, not like that. There are matters that the individual is not responsible for, and like you may think that they're responsible for that. And then when they fail in that particular responsibility, you want to reprove them for that matter. Well, one of the first things you have to ask, in this example, one of the first things you have to ask, well, do you have the right to the pleasure that you're seeking in this matter? It doesn't matter, whatever it is. It's like, you shouldn't have did, and you should have did, and you should. Okay, ask the question. That you are reprimanding them for, reproving them for, do you have a right from Allah for what you're reproving them about? If you have a right from Allah for that you're reproving them about, then alhamdulillah, approach it in the way that Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have you approach it. You do it, and you do it with love. You don't do it with severity. You don't do it in an extreme. You don't do it without love. You don't do it with harm or pain in your mind that you want to transmit to that person. That's not love. And to act this way, to act in this way, that is what is aligned with the sunnah of Allah. This is why we feel that this is what the Prophet is communicating to us through this hadith, though we don't have the benefit of the Arabic. But it fits the sunnah of Allah. It fits the sunnah of Allah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Imam Muhammad gives us the translation or an expression of it. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. So there's mercy on both sides. There's mercy in giving, and there's mercy in forgiving. That is, when a person falls off, that's hood language, right? When a person fails or comes into error, or a person makes a mistake, when a person misses the mark, and that English word that we use as sin comes from a Greek word from archery that means to miss the mark. It means to miss, and we all miss the mark. We all have shortcomings. But Allah is Ar-Rahim. He is the most merciful, the merciful redeemer. He's the one that, come on, you can come back. Come on, just turn around from it. You'll correct it, and everything's still good. This is Allah, the ever merciful. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So it fits the sunnah of Allah to have both these things in mind, so that as we reprove, yes, people are going to have to be reproved. Everybody in the constellation of your life, at some point in time, there's going to have to be reproval. Your husband's going to have to be reproved. Your wife's going to have to be reproved. Your children's going to have to be reproved. And everybody else that you have relationships with, at some point in time, there's going to be moments where reproval is correct. The idea is to do it in a way that is approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this term is implying for us that the way you do it is do the reproval, don't do it in an extreme, but do it with love and mercy as you do it. It's not about being soft in the sense of soft, because sometimes you do have to do it hard, but not harshly, right? Let me remind you and me. But not with severity, not with harshness, not in anger. See, when you do it with intelligence, that being done in intelligence, then that takes unintelligent behavior out of it. So it's like, that's not intelligent. That's not an intelligent way to do it. That's not a merciful way to do it. That's not a way that is approved by Allah's will. That's not a way that's consistent with Allah's plan. Are you reproving somebody that has no chance of getting straight? They have no chance of turning around? And is your reproval in such a way where I think of a Quranic ayah where it says, it is a part of the mercy of Allah that you deal gently with them, lest they will break away from about you. This is Allah talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about those who are close to him. It is a part of the mercy of Allah that you deal gently with them. And indeed, Musa alayhi salatu wasallam, even him, Musa was told, when you go to Pharaoh, speak to him gently. Now, if anybody need reproving, it was Pharaoh. But Allah told to speak to him gently. See, that's the intelligence. When you use the intelligence in the course of your reproval in alignment with Allah's sunnah and Allah's expectation for that particular act, it is as though Allah is doing the reproving. And alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. How many times in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did he have to reprove people? You know, I haven't read the report. Oh, he gonna say that to me? I'm out of here. I don't think Negroes is around yet. But the point is that is what can happen if you don't do it intelligently. Sometimes it makes sense for a person, oh, you're going to be like that because you're on the wrong side of reproval. Then it's right for the person to break away from you. It's natural for the person to break away from you. So intelligence dictates that, are you trying to destroy your support? Are you trying to destroy the person? Or are you trying to have the person return to what pleases you and pleases them, of course, based on the quality and the nature of the relationship that you have? Well, this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran 6:12, the sixth surah, ayah 12. An expression of it is this. Say, to whom belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth? Say, to Allah. He has inscribed for himself the rule of mercy. Allah has inscribed for himself the rule of mercy, that he will gather you together on the day of judgment, about which there is no doubt whatever. It is they who have lost their own souls that will not believe. That's an axiomatic statement. If they won't believe, it's because they have lost their souls. But the emphasis that we want to place on this right now is Allah has inscribed the rule of mercy on himself. So Allah, even as he reproves us, he reproves us while we're living, because when we offend his way, he sends a guide to invite us back to the way, and we have that opportunity to come back to the way all the way up until the judgment day. But when you pass away, not having made tawbah, not having returned to what pleases Allah, when that day comes, the opportunity to seek Allah's pleasure, to gain Allah's favor, that's over. That's over. But in all the time before that, Allah is constantly, his reproval is a reproval that always leaves the door open for us to return to Allah's graces. The seventh chapter in the 156th verse, it says, and ordain for us, this is a dua in the Quran, and ordain for us that which is good in this life and in the hereafter. For we have turned unto you. He said, Allah is saying, I believe this is to Musa, when Moses, he was having problems with the people during the Exodus. And so he's kind of like, Moses is kind of like, God, take them out, basically. That was his kind of attitude. And protect us. Then Allah says, he said, with my punishment, I visit whom I will. I punish whoever I want to punish. But my mercy extends to all things. Meaning, so if you had a class, you have a class, such as we are, human beings. We're all human beings. Some human beings get the punishment from Allah. Allah said, that's my decision. Who gets the punishment? But then everybody gets mercy. So everybody that gets mercy doesn't necessarily get the punishment. But there are those who can get the punishment, but they will have also received Allah's mercy. Just like in the 45:35, it's Allah has been giving you mercy, 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 all the way up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Well, that mercy was within the opportunity for you to return to what would please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you didn't make that choice before you passed away, well, there's no opportunity for you to return to that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also saying here is that everybody, even the ones that get punished, you have received my mercy. And to conclude this portion of the khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Prophet, peace be upon him, it says that when Allah finished his creation, he wrote over his throne, my mercy preceded my anger. Okay? My mercy preceded my anger. And there's a reading I had even before reading again yesterday in the original language, is that, you know, my mercy extends beyond my wrath. That's one of the loose translations. My mercy extends beyond my wrath. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, it says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَا أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَا قَدَى الْخَلْقِ كَتَبَ خَتَبَ عِنْدَهُ فَوْقَ أَرْشِهِ إِنَّ رَحْمَتِ سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي It says, this سَبَقَ, the سَبَقَ has to do with, that came first. It says, surely my mercy, rahmati, sabakat, it went before ghadabi. It was mercy, and that mercy, you were getting that mercy, getting that mercy, getting that mercy, but then you went beyond the limits of the mercy that I had for you, but you exhausted that. In your case, you exhausted that before you received my anger. So that is, if you're receiving my anger, God's anger, okay, God's punishment, if you're receiving that, it's because you exhausted Allah's mercy in your case, right? And Allah knows best. Allah knows best, for sure, because I know that there are those who have, as we finish this portion of the khutbah, if you're alive, you got a chance. Let's put it that way. If you're alive, you got a chance. You know, there are things that we suffer in this world. There are things that we suffer in this world, and as the reports say, that it is but your deeds that I reckon up and recompense you for. So let him who finds good praise Allah. Let him who finds other that blame no one but himself. So when we make a statement about Allah's mercy is exhausted, Allah's mercy is not exhausted at all. Allah is most merciful, most gracious, most merciful, as we've already said. But there are limits to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow in our cases in terms of how we behave, how we respond, where our hearts are, where our souls are, where our will is in relationship to what Allah it has been calling us back to. Allah does not just come with the punishment. Allah subhanahu, he has extended mercy upon mercy upon mercy. And if we get to that point where Allah's anger is with us, is because in our case, we have exhausted Allah's mercy because we have shown that our hearts, that our will, that our spirit, and our mind is against doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. So you have exhausted it, but my mercy was before my anger. I gave you the mercy, but then you didn't accept it. You didn't embrace it. You didn't respond to it. So here comes my anger. So the idea is that when we also seek to bring people back to the way of Allah, obviously we got to bring ourselves there first. But when we seek to bring people back to, by way of reproving and correcting them and reprimanding them in ways that we are obligated to reprimand them with regard to whatever it is that we, whatever way that we, whether it be family, whether it be business, whether it be fraternal, obligations and the like, well, then sometimes reproval is just necessary. But that reproval has to be done in accordance with the will of Allah if we want to do it right. And in so doing, that means there has to be a mix of mercy in our reproval. There has to be a balance in having in it the hope and leaving a door open. That's another thing in this definition. In this moment, wallahi alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, where one of the meanings was to be allowed to approach the threshold, to a threshold, a hole of a door. And just in this moment, it said, oh, okay, leave a door open for somebody to come back. Don't slam the way you do the reproval, the way you do the correction, the way you do the reprimand. You slam the door. You close the door. You lock the door. I can't even get back in that door. That's not the reproval that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves of. We have to reprove in a way that leaves the door open. We have to reprove in a way that carries in it still love and mercy. And yes, our limit is far smaller than Allah's mercy, no doubt. There's no comparison. But at the same time, Allah is telling us that this is one of the ways that we have to emulate. And if we will, inshallah, we will find our life and the life of those that we sometimes have to reprove more pleasant and more successful. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين اللهم آمين الحمد لله رب العالمين So alhamdulillah, so it is about striking that balance. It's about knowing how to strike that balance, how to reprove and leave the door open, how to correct and reprimand but with love, how to correct and reprimand with mercy, how to measure our response to and in correcting the individual. When we do that with that awareness and in a way that is approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can't you see how the world would be so much better? Our world would be so much better. Our families, our relationships between husband, wife, children, business partners, fellowships. These are things that we have to seek. And when we do it in that way, that is as though Allah is doing it. By you, I shall reprove. I want to conclude this khutbah today with, there's a quote that's ascribed to Aristotle. It says, anybody can be angry. That is easy. But to be angry to be angry with the right person and to the right degree and at the right time and for the right purpose, and in the right way, that is not within everybody's power, and it is not easy. I'll read it again. Anybody can be angry. This is inside of the idea of reproof. If you have to reprove somebody, it usually fosters a little bit of anger in you. Okay, so it has a tendency to come from that place. So, anybody can be angry, that is easy, but to be angry with the right person and to the right degree and at the right time and for the right purpose and in the right way, that is not within everybody's power and it is easy. So what will allow us to do all those five things? Obedient intellect. Yes, inshallah, we'll speak more to this tomorrow. But today, let us simply understand that a part of the Prophet saying to us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la taghdab, He's saying to us, don't act in anger. Don't act in anger. So when we have to reprove, we've already said this, when we have to reprove, don't do so in anger. Do so with intelligence. Do so with an intelligence that is aligned with the will of Allah. Do so with intelligence that is aware of the sunnah of Allah. Do so in a way that is respecting of the plan of Allah for humanity. And also, we have to do so with empathy. Empathy is like, remember the person that you're reproving, they're a human being. And remember that you also are a human being. So then we have in common the fact that we all do things at times that are worthy of reproval. And depending on what the relationship is between you and they, then there's going to be opportunities in the future where they may need to reprove you, and you may need to reprove them. And if everyone reproves with an awareness of what is approved by Allah for reproval, alhamdulillah, then we don't destroy the relationships. So everything just continues to extend from that. As I just think about, وَتَقُوا wal arham, this four, the first verse of the fourth surah of the Quran. وَتَقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Have taqwa for Allah. This is what will enable us to do that. Taqwa for Allah will enable us to do that. Right? وَالْأَرْحَامِ. And be regardful of the relationships. Be regardful of the relationships. So when you're reproving someone, then have a mind of, well, what is our relationship? What is our, am I putting an end to this relationship? Am I severing the ties of relationship? It's not just romantic relationships. You have project relationship, business relationship, fraternal relationships. So many things. So you do that with consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His will and His plan, and the nature of the relationship. So alhamdulillah, we pray Allah guide us. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفه عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection. We beg you to continue your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection over us. Oh Allah, we pray that you would guide us to the right ways of reproval. Bless us, oh Allah, to hear your reproval of us. Bless us to be open to your correction of our misbehaviors, of our shortcomings. Bless us, O Allah, not to be overcome by anger as we reprove others. O Allah, bless us to understand that we are obligated and we should seek to reprove in accordance with your will. O Allah, bless us to have the taqwa. Bless us to have the self-restraint. Bless us to have the self-control. Bless us to not be abusive. Bless us not to be harsh. Bless us not to be severe. Bless us not to be unmerciful. Bless us not to be disempathetic. Bless us to be empathetic. Bless us to respect the object that you have for us all as human beings, and the fact that that equality would cause us all to be on different sides of that issue, and bless us to be empathetic to the other party, and bless us to be open and to leave open the way for our own return and the way for their return to the way that would please you and a way by which we would be pleased. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. We have some announcements. Alhamdulillah, Anniversary, Brother Pierre Sharif Ibrahim Muhammad, 1 year, Allahu Akbar. Also, Sadiq Islam, happy birthday, October 12th. What's today? 16th? All right, last week. Brother Sadat Perry, Georgette Beya, alhamdulillah, 18. We'll keep her in our dua, and she's giving aid and comfort to her sister. We pray all is well there. Time change, November 1st, calendar. So that's a little while. We got a couple of days to go. Election day, go out and vote. Do that November 3rd. November 7th, 9 to 3, we're going to have the monthly yard sale. You can text Yolanda Shuaib to reserve a spot. You have to do so before Thursday, November 5th. So it's going to be on the 7th. Make your reservations before Thursday, November 5th. Also, there will be a refundable $50 deposit that's required. And so you can see the announcement sheet for the others. Let me see if this other announcement was a personal announcement or something else. Okay, I'll say, does someone other than you run the IG Clear Running Sanity page? I see a fake IG page. Yeah. Somebody's been coming there with the fake pages and the like. Oh, Qiyam Sadiq Islam. Is his birthday today? Hit me with a yes if that's the case. We missed that one. Happy birthday to all y'all. Alhamdulillah. Sister Khadija, Hakim's mom, she had a birthday yesterday. Last name escapes me right now. But alhamdulillah, happy birthday to you. So it's good bubbling up births going on around here. Sandy Page, while you were giving your mashallah, one of the signs that you're doing good is when shaitan start messing with your stuff. When shaitan start messing with your stuff, you must be upsetting his kingdom. So y'all check in. If anything is shady on my Instagram and on the Facebook, you say, well, let me check and see if I ain't really put it out like that. And you know, if it don't hit your heart right, you pretty much know that ain't me. Allahu alam. All right. Thank you, brother and sister. Stay alert. Stay woke. Wa alaikum assalam.
صلوا على محمد ورسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة صلاة 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 الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله سيدي محمد رسول الله الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لي إلاف قريش إلافهم رحلة شتاء وصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمه من جوع وآمنه من خوف الله أكبر
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمد الله أكبر
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 أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل؟ ألم يجعل كيدهم في ضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم به جرة من سجيل فجعلهم كأسف مأكول. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمدا.
ربنا ولك
الحمد. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الحمد لله. تقبل الله. شكرا. خلاص. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم.